8 o'clock hour. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. I mentioned, Jackson, that I can't wait for the Royals to get started again. I just need sports, man. I know the British Open today. I love golf and stuff, so I'm glad it's back. But this week, okay, the All-Star game, that was fun. Home Run Derby, that was fun. We didn't have a dog in the fight, but
yeah.
You know, should Bobby have been in the swing off? I love the swing off, by the way.
That was cool.
In the All-Star game. I love that. That was fun. That was fun. But Bobby should have been in it. So
yeah.
Just leave it there. Yankee screwed up again. Aaron Boone.
Were we expecting Aaron Boone to make a smart decision?
Screw Aaron Boone. screw the Yankees. But it's what Gene, we had a guy from our sister station from Rochester in here, and he asked me, because they were booing Soto, you know, out at the K. And he goes, why are they booing Juan Soto so much? I don't get, they're not booing any of the other Mets. What's Soto done to them? And I said, he was a Yankee. I mean, he was a Yankee. Like, this town hates anybody that was associated with the Yankees. That's why they booed Soto.
Even, you know, being a younger fan and not being alive for some of the Yankee Royals battles back in the 80s and the 70s, you still hate them.
You do. And Jazz Chisholm, clearly with his comments, you know, no love lost between the Michael Garcia, the tag on on Jazz, and he didn't like it. But, it's that Kansas City curse. It's three home runs in the Home Run Derby. Kansas City fans love that.
That was the peak of the All-Star break for Kansas City fans, was seeing Jazz Chisholm absolutely just have an awful round.
But anyway, it was fun. It was fun.
It is fun.
I'll be honest with you. I think that rain was more exciting than the ESPYs.
For sure.
To be honest with you. Shane Gillis is funny, and I knew I knew he'd be funny because he's just fun. I love his.
You know, he's going to be here on Saturday.
Yeah, are you going?
I'm not. I might have to now. You know, like, I'm not currently going, but I might see if I can get a group of friends to go.
Dustman's going, but I don't know if it's going here, or the one in St. Louis, because I don't know if the timing's right for him. But that was funny. Like, that part worked. But if he just turned it off after the monologue, I get it.
You didn't miss anything.
Because the rest of it did suck.
Yeah, didn't miss anything.
The ESPYs, for all intents and purposes, the show's a waste. I don't like award shows anyway.
Right.
But that's cheesy. It's cheesy. Of course, no Chiefs were remotely mentioned or what. The Eagles won Team of the Year. They only had like two or three guys there in Sirianni. I mean, they didn't exactly have a ton there. But regardless, it was bad. But you know what's going around, though? And your age group, Jackson, do you have TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
Do you probably have Instagram?
Of course.
Do you have X?
Yes.
Okay. See, I just have X.
Okay.
I'm just old school in that. I mean,
that might be all you need. I mean,
it's just a big.
There's enough on X.
Hey, the thing about X is, which is great, is there's certain people, I'll just, whatever they tweet, it's like comes through like text messages, like when Schefter or something like that. It's NFL news. Right. So the Rasheed Rice news, I knew it like right away. Even when they signed Trey Smith, I know it right away. It's like a text that comes through. So I'm good with that. But did you happen to see what was going around last night? Listen to this.
Yeah. Oh, look at these two. All right, come on. You're okay? Oh, what? Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
So they're everywhere, man. I can't even go on that app without seeing dude and girl. The CEO, Mr. $1.2 billion. Like, how can somebody worth that much money be that dumb? I mean, that's like I have questions about that. We're talking about the CEO, if you haven't seen it, it's gone around everywhere, Facebook, X, wherever, every kind of social media, where he's giving a really nice, he wasn't doing the Heimlich maneuver, but he looked like he was, to his head of HR.
Yeah.
At a multi-million dollar company. Of course, he's worth $1.2 billion. Sometimes I wonder why people like get to a certain part, but yet be so dumb. It's like if you ever watch Jeopardy, like they'll tell you everything, every kind of chemistry, just everything, any kind of European author, whatever they got it. But you put sports up there.
They don't know anything.
Who are the purple people eaters? They don't know.
They don't know anything.
They don't know. They don't know. It's like the easiest questions to answer because
it kills me to watch. I can't stand to watch it.
But they don't know. But it's like, how can smart people be so dumb at certain times? Like, dude was on the Kiss cam and then they realized they probably should just, if they just didn't act like anything happened, they're not going viral.
Probably
they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Do people probably say, hey man, guess where your husband was or whatever? He could probably get out of it. Say, it was just, we were just joking around. I was joking around with my HR person. Yeah. We're joking around at the concert. Hey, he probably could have gotten away with it.
Probably.
But he was caught. And then he just straight down, man. He just goes straight down. And Oh. His wife had to delete all her social media accounts because she's getting inundated.
She took the last name out on her LinkedIn.
So, yes, I saw that. Because she was getting inundated. Now, she's probably going to be a very wealthy woman.
I would imagine.
After this is, they have kids and family. Because you know how these things work.
Oh, for sure.
So, he's screwed, man.
Yeah, not a good look.
Now, I don't know, man. Why would he even attempt to do this? I mean,
as a partial.
But he was embracing the whole being on Kiss Cam.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what are you doing, man?
And then when you duck, you just admit your guilt by that. When you duck out of the shot and everyone around you laughing because they all know what's going on. Oh,
I'm just wondering, like, how much Kiss Cam has cost people their relationships.
You know, if this happened prior to social media, nothing would have happened, right?
No, none at all.
Nobody would have ever seen it. But now that there's social media, yeah, the Kiss Cam's probably ended.
You can't do
a good amount of relationships.
It's like all these scrutiny these guys are in, like Mahomes. I mean, they hear everything.
Right.
There's videos and everything of, you know, Manuel Ancho's out there crushing him or something, or Craig Carton, he hears about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually serves as fuel. But think about Joe Namath and all the crap he did, man.
Oh, man.
I mean, there was no social media, whatever, do whatever he wanted to. Do whatever he wanted to.
For sure.
And no one would care because no one would see it. But yet, nowadays,
he went on Monday Night Football in the early 2000s and had that little moment. But
well, yeah, but nowadays you can't do anything. And just, man, I'm just surprised a billionaire CEO would do that. But I wonder how much it's happened to somebody else. Like that Kiss Cam. I always wonder with people's cars. When they're driving around, all of a sudden a text message comes through on Bluetooth to their screen like, who's Cindy or who's Cynthia? Who's, you know, you have some explain. I wonder how that technology has cost people relationships.
I'm sure it's happened to Kaufman. I would bet that there's been a Kiss Cam incident in Kaufman at some point.
Now you can get away with it. You're playing around. You're with a friend. Joking around and you play it off of that. But that was at least play it off like you're doing the Heimlich or something.
But
at least play it off like she's choking or something. Or you're doing the Heimlich maneuver or whatever. But dude, man, I mean, that went everywhere, man. But I feel bad for him, though, because he's doing something a lot of people have done. And here this guy, I don't know if he's going to – hopefully he'll be able to keep his job because, I mean, that is life. I mean, that does happen to –
a sticky situation, for sure.
But I don't know, man. I just reminded me because on the break I'm on X, and it's like that's the only thing that pops up.
Everywhere. Can't go anywhere online without seeing it today.
I mean, that guy went from – you know, he went to a concert, Coldplay.
Having the time of his life.
He's got his side piece. He's going, just enjoying himself. And then, boom, his whole life.
Out of nowhere, Chris Martin just
millions
exposes
of people
him.
See what you're doing. But anyway, I found that interesting. I'd rather be that dude that farted at the U.S. Open or the British Open.
Yes.
Like, I'd rather be that dude because he'll probably end up making money.
Well, the other thing is there's a lot of people that get caught farting on a mic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's news today, it's gone tomorrow.
Yeah, but this
dude,
man,
is going to be news.
Oh, this dude and his wife. I mean,
these jokes will be made for a long time.
I don't know if he'll keep his job. Or, I mean, the head of HR, the people CEO they had, I mean, that's a different deal. Now, what he does, here's the one thing, too, that nobody really knows. We don't know what's going on in the relationship.
No.
You know, maybe they were close to divorce anyway or close to separate. I mean, we just don't know. That's the part of, you know, you just don't know.
The internet never cares.
They don't care. They're ruthless.
They see something and they jump straight to whatever they think it is.
But we don't know. Maybe it's family friend or something. They were just having fun because they were, I don't know. But it's just everywhere. It's just completely
it's
everywhere.
It's what 2 days without any basketball, baseball, or football, or hockey, for that matter, do to you.
That's what happens.
There's not. These are the two worst days of the year, in my opinion.
It's a Coldplay concert.
You have none of the big four.
Yeah, it's a Coldplay concert, Kiss Cam going nuts.
There's no sports for 2 days, of the big four, at least. I guess, like you said, if you want to get up at 1:30 in the morning and watch some golf, you can.
But which I'll do.
Which, other than that, though, I mean, it's kind of dry. During the day, what is there to watch?
There's nothing, but I'm glad to have baseball back, glad to have some live sports back. By the way, everybody's kind of wondering about Breshard Smith with the Chiefs and stuff. You're a draft guy.
Big one.
And Chris and I, you know, we're doing the whole, you know, the whole draft, and we keep waiting. We had our list of running backs, right? Mm-hmm. And they just keep flying off. You know, Cleveland just keeps taking, like, Judkins and all this. I knew you weren't getting Ginty and all that. You know, Hampton, you're not getting that. But certain guys you thought maybe they'd take a chance on. Like a Jalen Sampson or Dylan Sampson, something like that,
Devin
out of Tennessee.
Neal, local kid.
You think you have a choice of that, but then Breshard Smith. And it's almost like they get to the seventh round and they're like, oh, crap, because they make that deal with the Patriots, and the Patriots once again come through like they've done for the past. The Chiefs have been very good at trading the Patriots, and they do, and they move down, and they get Breshad Smith. And to be honest with you, it's different than most seventh-round picks, in my opinion.
I agree.
Because I think Breshad probably goes maybe in the fifth round in previous years.
I think he's drafted earlier.
Because
this was one of the deepest running back classes I can remember. Obviously, Jenty was the alpha in it, but there was a lot of good running backs past Jenty as well.
And I just don't look at him as a typical seventh rounder because I think he's a lot more skilled than that. Made the playoffs last year, had a great year at SMU. One thing I do like about him, he's a former wide receiver. He was a wide receiver at the U. Mm-hmm. And so he's got that skill set. He's little to no wear and tear because it's that 1 year at running back at SMU, mm-hmm. which he did well. ESPN had called him the camp surprise, like the camp surprise for the Chiefs. I think it's going to be Carl Loftus because he's in that money time. Yeah. I think he hits that career high. I think he'll get at least 12 this year. But Breshad Smith's interesting. Again, when I look at the Chiefs draft, I see a lot of role players. Clearly, Simmons, a guy they see as a starter going forward. And if he's healthy, he will be. Norman Lott's going to be a guy they rotate as a piece on the defensive line. Ashton Gelati will be rotated in. You understand why they drafted him for the quarterback pressure rate. Noah Williams is a guy from Cal that I think can actually start. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if 5 weeks down the road he's starting for this team.
I could see him getting significant snaps.
Like, Noah Williams, who led NCAA in interceptions last year. Matter of fact, he picked off Cam Ward, first pick in the draft.
Well, I'll say one thing, Bink, that the Chiefs, Spags, and Dave Merritt, the defensive backs coach, they're not hesitant to play rookie corners. They took Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, those guys played immediately. Snead played in 2020 immediately. McDuffie, like, they're not gun-shy to send a guy out there early. So I think Noah Williams, I agree, he could definitely see the field early.
He's a turnover machine at what he can do, whether scooping scores. The one thing he wouldn't ask to do a lot was, like, get to the quarterback. Can he do that? Yes, because he can play on the line. And then draft breakdowns we're talking about is his limited tackling ability and stuff. That's not who he's very good. Attack. Matter of fact, his coach, Kevin Wilcox, came on with us and was gushing about his tackling ability. So I'm not worried about that at all. He's a physical dude. I can see him being a starter. Jalen Royals, rotation piece. Mm-hmm. Bassa, special teamer at this point.
Right.
Maybe gets a little bit of coffee at linebacker. And then Breshad Smith's going to be a role player. Now, can I see him on a wheel route? And you going, wow, I can see why they took him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Breshad Smith will have a plays this year that makes you scratch your head going, wow, I like this kid a lot.
Yep.
Is he someone you can trust on 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1? No. Because that's been a part of his game where he's got to work on the breaking the tackles and getting those extra yards. But out of the backfield, dude can play everywhere. You can put him in a slot. You can do a lot of different things with him at the running back position. He can go in motion. He can do things because you can trust him to catch the football. So yes. I am very excited about that. But again, it's with tempered expectations because it's going to be a role player with him.
I agree. And I also think one thing that you didn't quite touch on is he's a good pass blocker as well. I think that, you know, we talked earlier today about McKinnon and P. Ryan always being a good pass blocker at running back. I'm sure that's a big reason why they like Breshad Smith is they feel like
and he can return. They like that part.
Of course. I think they look at Breshad Smith. He might chip one play and then head out if Mahomes needs a check down, something along those lines. But, you know, Pacheco, his rookie year, was also a 7th-round pick. He didn't really get much opportunity until mid to, you know, end of the season. I feel like we could see similar things with Breshad Smith.
But it's that whole thing about the curse and the blessing with Veach, right? You're drafting guys, and all of a sudden they get that next contract. And Creed Humphrey wasn't a first-rounder, but he's paid more than anybody else at the center position. Trey Smith, 6th-rounder, the highest paid guard. Right. I mean, you're drafting these guys into the rounds, and all of a sudden you're having to pay them.
You lose the fifth-year option that you fortunately do have with McDuffie and Carl Loftus.
You do have that because they're still under contract for 2 seasons.
Yep, you got the fifth year for them.
So that part is good. I wouldn't be shocked, to be honest with you, if this year Breshad actually leads him in receiving or doesn't lead him receiving yards, but he has more receiving yards than he does rushing yards this year.
That wouldn't shock me. I mean, we are talking about a converted wide receiver. So
I wouldn't be shocked at that at all. He does have a kick return for a touchdown as well when he was at the U. So we know he can do that. So, again, it's why they draft. Because, again, it's coming out to 35 now instead of the 30. Touchbacks. So you're going to see more of an emphasis
it's a big deal.
On the return game. But, anyway, I'm just glad they got one. Because I was really concerned and didn't want to see him go through a draft and not get a running back.
Especially
because
I was going to say, especially this draft.
And to be honest with you, it's kind of a tight end draft, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think they kind of like what they have at tight end with Noah Gray and Jared Wiley going forward. And they, of course, they believe Kelce can still produce this year. And if this is it for Kelce,
don't forget about Jake Brenningstuhl, everybody's camp All-American.
Yep, you gotta shout him out too. I mean, I think the other thing, they might run a lot of two tight end, maybe even some three tight end this year if Rice is out and they kind of have to adapt on the fly. The passing game isn't quite there.
I can see them doing a ton of 12 personnel.
Right, of course. And they like Noah Gray a lot. They gave him a three-year extension. I think you see Kelce, Gray, and, you know, depending on Wiley's ACL return, I think you could see a lot of usage for those guys.
But the one thing about it is the highest paid players in the NFL, you'd be shocked at where the Chiefs come out on this list. Talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. Hey, what do you think of some of these wide receivers, not this year, but in 2 years coming out of the draft? Ooh. Hopefully you're not in position to draft a Ryan Williams or Jeremiah Smith.
You would hope not. You would really hope not.
But, man, they're going to be game changers.
Man, they are. That class already looks insane.
I'm very excited. You're a big college guy, too. Obviously, if you watch the draft, you're watching it for a different reason.
Love college football.
What's your story, Jackson? Where'd you go to school? Where are you from, man? What's going on with you?
Went to school at UMKC.
Okay.
Grew up from the Liberty area.
Like so. Cody Tapp, man. Was he your instructor?
No, but I did meet Cody in college, so that was kind of a cool thing. We were starting up the radio station again post-COVID, and Cody had kind of got the sports radio station going prior.
He's like a professor there.
When I was there, he wasn't, but, you know, I did get to meet with him, and, you know, he helped us get it set back up because back when he went to school there, they got the live games, calling the basketball games and stuff like that, and we were able to go out to Lawrence.
Nice.
And do a game at Allen Fieldhouse. That was pretty sweet.
Was it the highlight?
Oh, that was probably the best thing I did in college, yeah. Nice. Getting to call a game at Allen Fieldhouse was electric, even if the Ruse did not play that well.
I wish the Ruse would get a football team, man.
Oh, man. Be a lot of fun.
All that talent, local talent that ends up at D2 schools, it's how Pitt State, Northwest Missouri State, you know, in Central Missouri, how they built those teams up from the Kansas City area kids, Washburn, you name it, they, mm-hmm. you know, guys go in there. And, of course, in the NFL draft, you saw three guys get drafted from the Kansas City area for the Texans.
Right.
Like, so it's just a different ballgame, man.
It would be cool, for sure.
There's a lot of talent.
I want to see them make the tournament in basketball. They've never done it. Man, it's inevitable, man, right? They got to do it eventually.
I think they will.
One of these years, they're going to break out and win the Summit League. It's coming.
Which is dope. But anyways, we've had plenty of ruse around here as well. The one thing, too, if I said how many Chiefs, now that Trey Smith's the highest paid guard in the NFL.
Okay.
If we said it took the 11 starters on offense and defense, 22,
uh-huh.
and then we had added in the punter and the kicker, how many would you say belong to the Chiefs as far as the highest paid at their positions?
Just for this year?
This year, the highest paid players at their position, how many would you think would be on the Chiefs?
I would guess Creed Humphrey.
He's number one at center.
Is Travis Kelce number one at tight end?
No.
No, okay. That was a little bit of a shock. On defense, Chris Jones, is he number one at D-tackle?
He is.
Figured that.
There's two.
How many more do we got? Let's think.
Two more.
Two more. So Trey Smith already is now the highest paid.
So that's three.
And then it's not Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes on a pretty team-friendly deal, I was going to say.
It's a specialist.
Oh, is it Butker?
It is.
Wow, okay.
So four guys, the highest paid at their position. I still think Butker, I mentioned this the other day, and text line's like, I considered it a Veach top move as far as
it is.
What he's done, because we forget that as soon as he took over, they raided him off the Panthers practice squad.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about Harrison Butker, he always comes through when it matters in the playoffs.
He saved this team many, many times, but that was a move taking him off the practice mm-hmm. squad. Yeah. I mean, you do the Parker Anger trade and you get a corner that starts for you. That's great and all. But, I mean, the Mahomes contract, there's many, I mean, besides just the draft being good, I mean, every other parts have been good, but that was definitely, I mean, if someone would say top three move, that's fine. I still think getting Bolton at pick 58 is one of the top moves for him, too.
A great move. I mean, if you want to give him credit for the Mahomes thing, because even though he wasn't technically GM at the time, it was still John Dorsey Veach was a big reason in why the Chiefs took Mahomes. So I'll still give him that.
No, you're right. And not only that, but Andy Reid's even kind of cleared the air on that, saying, no, Brett Veach was the dude. Because Brett Veach is always, like, Veach was with Andy in Philadelphia. He made his way up from the bottom to the top. And he always kind of pounded his desk for certain players.
Mm-hmm.
And Mahomes is one of those guys. Like, he was one of the guys that he scouted, one of the guys that he believed in, one of the guys that he wanted. It was Patrick Mahomes. So even though it was John Dorsey, it took a coaching staff, a front office staff to do that deal. I still think the Parker angered for Chevarius Ward.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big time move because that was
big move.
Ended up being a starting corner for you. He gets paid, you know, when he went out to Frisco and all that. So that
was
a big move.
There's no way they win that first Super Bowl without Chevarius Ward. The secondary was just not good enough without him.
I mean, I look at that draft class back in, what was it, 22?
Oh, that might be one of the greatest draft classes in NFL history.
When Pacheco was your leading rusher, seventh round pick. Nazi Johnson played special teams, seventh round pick. And then, of course, you had on that same team, you had McDuffie, you had Karloftis, and you had Jalen Watson, seventh round pick, too. So you hit in all your seventh rounders, which a lot of teams use those as throwaway picks. They actually helped that team win a Super Bowl.
I thought the best value pick of that draft, and I was surprised he fell that far, was Leo Chanel in the third.
Leo Chanel in the third, and Sky or Brian Cook that went right before him.
You didn't see a lot of Leo Chanel in the first couple years here because you had Bolton and Willie Gay. But since Leo Chanel's gotten a chance, man, he is really good. And it's going to be interesting to see, can they keep him past this season?
Well, I think a big reason when you really evaluate GMs is when it comes to payday. And all of a sudden you're paying people way past the round they were drafted.
Yeah.
Like Trey Smith's a perfect example for where he was drafted. And him going from... Yeah, people are scared about the medicals, but all of a sudden you have a guy in Trey Smith that was a sixth round pick, the last pick the Chiefs had that year in 2021, and of course Creed was part of that as well. So you have two of the highest paid players at their positions, neither were first round picks from 2021. That's incredible.
It's a good problem to have. It's Veach is good at finding these guys on day two and three of the draft.
I remember last year going into the season, 21 of the previous 22 draft picks were still on the roster, whether on the practice squad or on the roster, which is Bo Pete Keys was the only one not out of that 22. But that's, again, that's 21 of 22. I get it. Some teams, you know, have their draft picks still on their team, but they're not winning anything. You know, it's one thing if the Cardinals do it. It's another thing if a team does it to win Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean – Kansas City has been one of the best drafting, even if they don't hit in the first round, right? Like, Clyde wasn't a hit, unfortunately. So far, FAU hasn't been a hit, but they're so good at finding talent out of the first round. And, of course, they've had their fair share of hits in the first round with McDuffie and, you know, Worthy's looking like one, Karloftis. It's just...
But you're gonna have misses. I mean, of course, like everybody does. Every team has misses. You're just going to have it. Well, then you have guys you understand where they got him, like Shamari Connor when he was drafted.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy is a defensive back. He can play safety, can play the nickel, can do all these things. Oh, by the way, he led Virginia Tech in sacks one year from a defensive back position. So, okay, I like that guy. You look at this year, Ashton Gelati led in quarterback pressures. Okay, Norman Lott had the highest sack rate for being in his limited time. He went a starter there, but you understand why there. Noel Williams was taken because he led. I mean, you understand the rhyme and reason why they drafted guys.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think Veach is one of those guys that really does learn from his mistakes. Same way Howie Roseman did. I mean, Howie Roseman took Jalen Reagor, realized it was a mistake pretty quickly, and then went to go get Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown the next few years. When Brett Veach misses, he's not ignorant about it normally.
Well, Howie Roseman says, I want every Georgia player.
Yeah, for sure. When Brett Veach misses, though, he's able to adapt, and he doesn't just hold on to the miss and just hold that mistake. He's going to go to fix it. If the offensive line wasn't good like it wasn't against Tampa, that offseason he completely, you know, makes a new offensive line happen.
It bothered him.
Yeah.
That was his main target was, I got to fix this.
Of course. And he's very good at fixing. Now, sometimes, like last year, I felt like he left tackle a little, you were kind of relying on either Wanya Morris or a rookie Kingsley Suamataya coming out of college. That was a little risky, but this year I feel like he's corrected that by going to get the vet in Jalen Moore. So if you're a rookie, Josh Simmons isn't perfect or isn't ready to go out of the gate, you have a veteran to put in there.
It's just so important. Front offices are just so important, especially your cap guy, trying to figure out how to pay everybody. But you know, you mentioned Roseman, and that's why they won.
Oh, he's.
I'll never forget when he took Jalen Carter, first pick in the first round. He picked 9, right? Because of character concerns, right, on Jalen Carter. But I told Chris, it's like, man, there's 8 teams making a mistake because Jalen Carter was looked upon as being number 1-1-1.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that they got him in 9, pick 9, is a joke.
Yeah.
Because that was a home run. The fact that they got him was a joke. What do you come out with, since we're on that subject, Jalen Hurts, because you see how these quarterback lists that come out. ESPN just did theirs the other day where they – it's different than asking the media. This is
right.
Scouts, GMs, front offices, and Mahomes is number 1 at quarterback. But they had Jalen Hurts way back at like 9, and I thought that was disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think people use that he has a great team around him against him. But I think he elevates it to a degree as well. I've always thought Jalen Hurts is a above average good quarterback. Is he a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen, a Patrick Mahomes, a Joe Burrow? In my opinion, no. But you could easily argue. Like, I see people put Herbert above him. What has Herbert done to be
Nothing.
Put above him?
He got new contacts today at the training camp. He's wearing new contacts. That's what he's done. He's 26 years old. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. He's won one of them. He's a Super Bowl MVP. And not only that, he would have been it had they beat the Chiefs. He would have been a 2-time winner and a 2-time MVP if things happen. 26 years
he's
old.
He's played fantastic in both Super Bowls.
That's why I think he's disrespected to some extent.
I think 9's a little low.
I love Jaden. Mm-hmm. I love him in Washington, but they have him 5. It's like, okay, he's been the NFC title game. I get it, but we're talking about a guy that has won one ahead of him. And Jaden's awesome, man.
He is.
And I would have gone 1-1 with him instead of Caleb Williams, to be honest with you. I mean, I look back at what he did at LSU, and I'm still shocked that he didn't win more games considering he had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. as his wide receivers.
That LSU defense was not very good.
It wasn't. It was crap.
I remember they played Mizzou that year. It was like 49-39.
But it was all Jaden. He was running around. It was him doing everything.
He was fantastic there, yeah. And credit to the Commanders for taking him instead of Drake May. And that's not a shot at Drake May. But you got to look at it. Jaden Daniels was a pretty big risk because of his age and how long he'd been in college. And yes, he had that great last season.
It makes the biggest difference getting that quarterback, man. Oh. Can you imagine the Chiefs, the situation they'd be in had they drafted Mr. Massage? Deshaun Watson. I mean, seriously, imagine where they'd be.
I mean, I know he wasn't on the board, but in an alternate universe,
Think about what Mahomes has done considering where he was picked, considering people did want Watson. I mean, just imagine how this town and things are different had it not been Mahomes. I'm not even sure we get the NFL draft.
The Chiefs have been more successful since 2018 to 2024 than they were every year before that combined.
Like, dude, 21 years without a playoff win.
Right,
21.
Right. The first time they won a playoff game.
It's Alex Smith.
At home.
Oh.
Was since Montana was Mahomes. And yes, they, like you were going to mention, they did get the playoff win on the road at Houston in 2015. But still, I mean.
Oh, I don't think people realize. I bring it up all the time. He's got 17 postseason wins. Only Tom Brady has more. Joe Montana had 16. Again, Mahomes 17. Peyton Manning 14. Peyton Manning didn't win a playoff game until year 6. Yeah, it's special stuff, man.
I think it's hard to understand in the moment when his career's over and he's gone and the Chiefs are back to kind of being a mediocre to bad team. People are going to look back and be like, wow, that's something we're never going to see again. It's truly special.
Now, I'm with you. You got to be right, man. And the thing about it is, it's so funny that position is the most scrutinized at the combine. It's the most scrutinized through the year where these teams are finding out about the quarterbacks who went to their damn birthday party. I'm not kidding. Like, did the rest of the guys go? Because that's how big a leader is this guy. I mean, it's everything, man. Girlfriends, former. The NFL teams will, every stone is unturned when it comes to quarterbacks. And it's amazing how they get it wrong. It's amazing that Brock Purdy can start in a Super Bowl and be the last pick in the draft. Like, that is unfathomable.
Think about how many draft picks the Jets hit on. Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson II, Breece Hall, so many players. It doesn't matter because Zach Wilson was a miss.
Yeah, he's got to have a quarterback, man.
It happens all the time. And where would San Francisco be had Purdy not been this miracle? Because they gave up a ton to get Trey Lance. Like, you can be a great GM in a lot of ways. If you don't see the right quarterback...
And that seems to be forgotten with that team. When everybody's talking about their draft picks and what they're doing, they forget how big that was. Trey Lance miss.
When you miss on QB, it doesn't matter if you're great at everything else.
Well, I'm just saying this too with Purdy. I mean, what he's done there has been incredible and love it. But now they're paying him.
Yeah,
it's a different ballgame. He's getting elite money. And you didn't win it when you weren't. And that's when your chance was to do it. Because, again, when the Chiefs played the Niners in the Super Bowl, they were built on two different teams. Chiefs paid their guys extremely handsomely. Mm-hmm. And here was a team paying their quarterback going against a team that wasn't paying theirs. And that's why they were able to pay everybody else. Now, things are different. The Chiefs defense is getting a lot of run, as they should. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. Well, there's one thing for certain is Chiefs have spent a lot of draft capital on defense. And they say defense wins championships. Well, I think offense does too, as we clearly see offense wins championships. But having a good defense, being able to carry you when your offense can't exactly facilitate things. 15th in the NFL in scoring offense last 2 years. But yeah, I mean, it takes a good offense once you get to the postseason. Like, we all know that. Like, you have to do it because 2 years ago, they faced the number 1, 3, and 4 scoring defenses, and they won each of those games. So that wasn't done with smoke and mirrors. That was done with Mahomes stepping up when it counted the most. I mean, they had to do it. But the Chiefs defense is finally getting run. I always felt like the Chiefs defense didn't get kind of the credit they deserved early on when they started to be good. I think people were like, right. Look, this defense is actually pretty good. ESPN did top 10 defenses in the NFL, the Chiefs at number 5. Like, you never see that as far as the Chiefs defense, you know, being considered where they're at. But they just kind of emerged. They kind of stayed back in the weeds and just kept – remember 2 years ago, they just kept being good. And everybody, you know, 9, 10 weeks of the season, like, people are like, look at this defense. They're doing some things. Even last year, they didn't allow a 100-yard rusher, a running back last year, including Barkley in the Super Bowl. They didn't do it. The only guy that ran up for 100 yards on was Lamar Jackson for the Ravens. But that was a quarterback position. And that's been kind of Achilles heel with this defense. But they've kept getting good. And they finished number 2 in sacks. Remember, I would never forget that. Not this last Eagles Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl 57. And everybody's talking about the great vaunted pass rush of the Eagles. You remember Trey Smith and company wearing the t-shirts that said no sacks allowed and Orlando Brown and all that at the parade? They took pride in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody was talking about there, and I was like, wait a minute. The Chiefs were number 2 in the NFL in sacks and not getting any run at all. Again, nobody gave them respect because it's all been about Mahomes and the offense. No one's talking about the defense. But I think now, well, especially if you ask opposing teams that are playing the Chiefs that week, how good this defense is, how tough it is to stop Chris Jones, whether he's on the inside or outside moving him around, they'll find weakness. And Spags has been the master. And he finds out where your strength is, and he utilizes it. Mm-hmm. And just like Leo Chanel, that even though kind of off-ball linebacker, not exactly, you know, you consider a pass rusher, but in college, he had the highest pass rush grades. Wisconsin actually led the Badgers in sacks, and that's not his deal. But he's like, you know what, let's have him do it, or let's take defensive backs. And he manufactured ways to get to the quarterback. If he said, all right, I don't have an elite edge, let's find other ways to get him. You know, sprinkle in. Let's give Bolton 2. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll just, you know, let's give Leo a couple. They sprinkle it in. Defensive backs get theirs, but they find a way. And I think that's Spags' biggest credit. And he does help throughout the draft process. DeVeach, they give him a handful of guys, and he gives them names of, you know, defensive backs to really stand up. And to be honest with you, a lot of guys they draft are Spags' guys. He looks for a certain type and size on the edge at defensive backs, but there's a big rhyme to the reason of why Veach makes draft picks when it comes to defensive backs or anybody on defense, because they're Spags guys.
Well, I think you look at the last 2 seasons, and last year with the season on the line against Buffalo, 4th down, what does Spags do? He sends the corners right after Allen. What does he do the year before?
Well, he knows what side he's running to. He knows he's running to the left. You know.
And what does he do the year before in the Super Bowl where San Francisco has a 3rd and medium? If they get that first down, they could probably run the clock out, kick a field goal, and win. One of the gutsiest calls of the year, blitzes McDuffie out of the slot. Purdy never saw it. Completely stops the drive, gives Kansas City a chance to have the ball. I mean, Spags always has something for the right moment.
I think honestly, we talked earlier about how the Chiefs don't practice with another NFL team. They're one of the few teams in the NFL that didn't bring another team
don't
in.
Don't do the joint practices.
The joint practice. They don't do it. And because they're going against the best of the best. They're going against the Mahomes and the offense. And he learns from that. And I do think that having Mahomes and company, and as good as this offense has been, Andy Reid, it's only sharpened Steve Spagnuolo when he sees that group every single day, and you got to figure out ways to stop it or slow it down, because this league is about quarterbacks now. It's about Burrow. It's about Josh Allen. It's about Lamar Jackson. It's about these different quarterbacks, and how do you go out and stop them, or you're facing the best of the best that can do just about everything at quarterback. That helps Spags, man. And I never figured out, and I don't know how much they do it or if they do it at all. I always thought once a week, a defensive coordinator should go out to lunch with the team's offensive coordinator. Honestly. Yep. And I think it should be an honest conversation. It's like the honesty you need in the front office. Like the honesty a husband needs if his wife comes in and says, "Do I look fat in this dress?" And he goes, "No, baby, you look hot." Knowing damn well,
She doesn't. Yeah.
But you need that honesty. You need that guy. You need the one to say, "Hey, no, you look fat in that dress." You need that guy to be successful. And I think you check your ego in, because these guys all have egos. And you go out to lunch once a week. You say, "All right, what do you notice about my defense? Like, if you're scheming against my defense, what are you doing?" And maybe they do it. Maybe I know a lot of teams don't. But I think that'd be helpful. Or when you see my offense, how are you going about and stopping it, Spag? What are you seeing is the weakness of my offense? Who's not blocking? Or what would you do to exploit my offense? What are you doing in practice against it? What are you seeing on film? What are you seeing? Because all you do is watch other offenses when you're trying to slow them down and stop them. What do you see about mine? What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? And then just having an honest conversation. You don't get pissed at each other and throw a fit and say, "Hey, you're the 15th best offense. What do you know about my defense?" Look, check everything to the door. Honest conversation. Have it. That's what, honestly, I think would make you better. Well, it seems like the Spags does that.
It kind of reminds me of some of these teams that have mobile backup quarterbacks. If they're going to go play the Ravens, they'll use like a Tyrod Taylor as like the practice guy to be like, "We're going to simulate playing Lamar." Obviously, you can't simulate Lamar, but the point is, like, you're simulating that stuff. I think to your point, yeah, if Nagy and Spags could get together and be like, "Okay, what are you seeing in my offense?" You know, and vice versa, it'd be a pretty cool idea. I don't know if, I mean, maybe they already do that.
We don't know, but again, they probably have open communication, because that's the way the Chiefs are. They're a close group, and who knows what they do. But I know in a lot of cases, offensive coordinators don't hang out with defensive coordinators because they got egos.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine Mahomes, you know, through St. Joe training camp, probably asked Spags, like, "Hey, what did you see to know to do that to me?"
Yeah, he does. Like, he does, like, ask those questions.
How did you know to blitz me there? How did you know to, like, ask questions? Because that's the only way you're going
to
learn.
You talk to secondary. You talk to McDuffie. Like, well, what am I doing? Am I doing any kind of tells on my throws or whatever? What are you doing to stop me? But Mahomes like that, though. Like, he wants to know it all. That's why I think he'd be a brilliant head coach at some point. But again, the great ones don't always do that. They go in the front office or whatever.
I don't think Mahomes gets enough credit for how quickly he processes stuff, just because of how talented and the type of athletic throws he can make.
It's got like a photographic memory.
Brady, Peyton Manning type mind up there as well. That's what makes him so special, is he not only has his physical ability, he processes things so fast.
And what makes him even better is that he's seen everything. I mean, there's relatively few you can do. I mean, now it's the too high safety and stuff they're battling
shell,
with.
Yeah.
The shell defenses, things they're working on. But he's seen everything. And I remember a couple years ago, people were like, "Oh, I think they slowed him down. I think they figured it out." Steve Young actually had like the best explanation for it. He's like, "Listen, we ran the West Coast offense in Frisco, and people started to kind of figure it out. What we had to do is make adjustments." And I've seen the Chiefs do that. All right. Well, and the Chiefs have done that, because they're an explosive offense, but they had to learn to play within their means. They had to learn to complete the short. They had to learn to matriculate the ball down the field, to borrow a Hank Stram impression. They learned how to do that and win a different way. Because at the end of the day, W's and L's the only thing that matters, not how many points you won by.
Well, in 2021 was the first time where the Chiefs offense kind of saw a struggle. Remember, they only scored 3 points against the Titans. They beat Green Bay in a game that they only put 13 points up. Like, the offense was struggling because defenses were daring them to have long drives instead of, "Hey, you're not beating us over the top for a 70-yard touchdown. We're going to make you go 10 plays and try not to self-sabotage yourself with holds or penalties or turnovers." And Kansas City really struggled with that for a while, but they've grown because of that. They've become an offense that, yeah, if we have to run a 15-play drive, we'll kill you slowly. We can also kill you down the field with Xavier Worthy if we need to.
Great point by you, Jax. Great point by you. Coming up next, though, Nate Taylor made an interesting comment about the Trey Smith deal and the Chiefs offense and what to expect. And I want to hit that and address that next before we wrap up and go.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation with the assist by Julio Sanchez. What a crew that is. Great job tonight, Jackson. Great job. You kind of took over the steering wheel. Awesome job, brother.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome job for sure. Don't forget, if you want to watch British Open at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's party on time, man. It's party on time, Garth. 100%. But anyway, Nate Taylor was our Chiefs insider, does a lot of stuff, made that move from The Athletic to ESPN. He said something the other day with Carrington about the Chiefs and the need for top five offense. Remember, scoring offense 15th in the league the last two seasons is what Nate had to say.
It can no longer be a top 12 offense. Hell, it can't even be a top 8 anymore. If Patrick Mahomes is protected, if Creed Humphrey plays to expectation, if Trey Smith plays to expectation, if you have a better solution to the left tackle position while also giving up some of your strength at left guard, well, that's a fair trade in a lot of senses, and a lot of teams will make because of the positional value and essentially what we saw last year from what Patrick had to go through, the amount of hits he took, the most hits he's ever taken in his career because of the instability at left tackle. So, hey, you have Juwan Taylor for another year at right tackle, and you got three receivers that, if they stay healthy, have never played a snap together with a Hall of Fame tight end and a coach and an offensive coordinator that have known each other for decades. So it's got to be top five. Everyone obviously needs to stay healthy, but it's time for the offense to give back to the defense. And we don't say that often in Kansas City, but these are why you made these moves, because the defense has really carried much of the offense to where you could give Mahomes a chance to win you the game in the fourth quarter. And most of the time, that's going to happen. Well, the offense could not give the defense a chance in the Super Bowl. That has to change this upcoming season, because that's the greatest way this team can improve from last year to this year.
I 100% agree with Nate. I was thinking last year, this explosive offense, Mahomes had talked about it at training camp, Andy Reid talked about it, and then all of a sudden injuries happen and you have to change what you do. I mean, it was a great coaching job. Honestly, it might have been one of the better coaching jobs we've seen in Kansas City, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl. They won their ninth straight division title, and they won the division by four games. And this was the division that had three playoff teams last year. So, honestly, maybe one of their most impressive division titles they've won. But, yeah, getting back to scaring the living crap out of people with the Chiefs offense. They have the ability to do it. They've had the quarterback. You got to give him time. And hopefully it's the start of it. But again, the Trey Smith deal is nice. That's fine. But you've had Trey Smith. It's about that left tackle. It's about that left tackle and protecting the blind side of Patrick Mahomes, whether it's Jalen Moore stepping up and being given the time until Josh Simmons is ready to go at the left tackle position. But yeah, would love, because this defense, honestly, we just talked about it, I think top five defense for sure. I think we can be in the top five. Hell, I was saying top 10 2 years ago because I thought they had that ability to be that, and they proved that they have that because they've drafted for that. They've drafted to do that, and you've got one of the best of all time coaching your defense, and Steve Spagnuolo, that just, he knows defense like the back of his hand. He's got four rings, so that's pretty good stuff. But I'm feeling good about this offense this year. If again, get the suspension now with Rice, but you knew that was going to happen. Like, still, there was a talk, maybe it happens the next year or whatever, but again, you knew it was a possibility. The key is stay healthy. Stay healthy, Xavier Worthy. Stay, which he's been very durable, knock on wood, but stay healthy, Hollywood Brown. I mean, that's...
You can only hope, right? I mean, it's unpredictable when it comes to injuries. I will say, like you said, one of the most impressive coaching jobs of Reed's career last year, because they had an identity they wanted to have, and then before the season even started... And then really when
St. Joe Chiefs, I call them St. Joe Chiefs, were explosive.
When Rasheed got hurt in week four in Los Angeles, the identity went from we're going to light it up through the air to we've just got to do anything possible to, you know, sustain a drive.
Exactly. Anyway, I'm just excited about being on the cusp of training camp. I mean, Tuesday.
Oh, right there.
Cody and Gold will be up there a lot this year. So looking forward to seeing and hearing from the Chiefs coverage that they have. But I'm excited. Hit I-29, hit up there, see some Chiefs training camp. And I know people will be going up there. And again, I recommend if you want to go up and see training camp, go during the week, man. Find a way to go during the week. Weekends are fun. There's a lot of people. A lot of people. If you really want to dive in and see some stuff, go during the week. It's in the morning. Andy Reid takes care of you by having practice in the morning. Used to be in the afternoons, but not with Andy Reid. It's been in the mornings, which has only been a good time. Jackson, Julio, awesome job, dudes. Thanks for listening tonight. Much appreciated. Dusty, Bob, 5:58 in the morning. Mac Morning. See you then.
After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Lift your tickets, saying on the back, once you go in, all bets are off, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You get it. Yeah, anything you can't. In other words, basically, it should just say, hey, by holding this ticket, you can't sue us. Like, that's all we need to say. You don't need any fine print.
There's a lot of disclaimers, yeah.
I could save ink everywhere because people know by this point. Just say, hey, if you hold this ticket, you can't sue us. That's all you need to know. That's all anybody knows. Okay, great. Yeah, don't give me a fine print, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, this indemnifies us for about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Well, I mean, look, I never got paid for being part of a video game many, many years ago. I couldn't even get them to give me a free game. So, I mean, what am I going to do?
Yeah, well, yeah, if you were on the kiss cam, maybe could have.
I was in the crowd. I was the cheering cam. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Look at Mike Harmon. He's the guy in purple shorts that's cheering and yelling.
Well, a couple of years ago, I went to a game with my brothers and ended up on camera for quite a while. It became a thing around here mocking me for a bit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very nice. Okay.
I had nothing to do with the incident in question.
All right. Did your brothers have anything to do with it? Because I think they might.
No, I just accused them of stealing things. I don't think they co-opted any camera wells at a Coldplay concert. My brothers wouldn't walk across the street to have anything to do with a Coldplay show.
Okay. Coldplay is very innocuous. Coldplay is...
I'm not denigrating them. I'm just telling you who my brothers are.
Coldplay is not, it's not something where you say, oh, I have this inveterate hatred this ingrained hatred of Coldplay. No, this is, okay, yeah, you can like Coldplay. Okay, I'm into their stuff. I don't like that. Coldplay doesn't invoke that kind of reaction.
No, I'm just telling you, they wouldn't care to walk across the street for it. That's how little Coldplay has meant to their respective lives.
I mean, I like some Coldplay songs. You say, hey, would you walk across the street for something? I might walk across the street. I mean, I might do that. Maybe, I mean, I might not. But I might walk across the street.
Depends how big the street is. Are we talking Vegas streets?
All right.
Because if it's Vegas streets, probably not.
That's going to take me. It's going to take me 45 minutes to walk across the street. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. So, yes, you could take your pick tonight. Again, waiting for baseball to start tomorrow night. We got big headlines out of the WNBA, out of the NFL, and out of the NBA, a story that, look, I admit there's not a lot that really surprises me, but seeing this today, I was initially very surprised. Then I got it. But to make a decision this fast, Damian Lillard is going back home. And by home, I mean he's going back to Portland. As he rehabs all year from the injury suffered, look, he had the blood clot as well. He had the torn Achilles, missed the playoffs this year for the Bucks, and it was an easy exit for Milwaukee out of the playoffs here. Milwaukee buys him out for over $100 million. And, hey, the narrative was Damian Lillard, one of the most exciting players in the NBA, who's kind of past his prime a little bit, but still incredibly exciting. He's going to take his time, can rehab on his own.